Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Arun Venugopal. Thanks for being with us today. The coronavirus that originated in Wuhan, China, continues to spread. There have been more than 71,000 cases globally. All but 700 of those have been in China. So far, the U.S. has only seen 15 cases total and no deaths. On Tuesday, the director of the Wuchang Hospital in Wuhan, where the virus originated, himself died of the virus. But there is a more familiar foe that's sickening and killing Americans right now, and that's the flu.
Across the country, we've seen about 26 million cases of the flu, about 250,000 hospitalizations related to flu or flu-like illnesses, and about 14,000 deaths around the country.
And that is
Dr. Molly Fleece, assistant professor in infectious diseases at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
While coronavirus has some people worried, flu season this year is bringing a new and troubling figure along with it. The rate of infection in children is higher than it's been in a decade. As of February 8th, at least 92 kids have died from the flu this year. Now, as we find ourselves in the second wave of the flu this season, I spoke with Dr. Fleece and with Dr. William Schaffner, professor of infectious diseases and preventive medicine at Vanderbilt University. I began by asking Molly how the flu this year compares with other years.
So right now, in terms of numbers and in terms of hospitalization rates, these have been fairly similar to this time during recent seasons. What has been different this year is we have seen higher rates of hospitalizations among children and younger adults during this time than in seasons past. Thankfully, mortality rates as related to the flu and complications like pneumonia have been lower this year than in seasons past.
Bill, is there anything that's different about the flu strains this year? Anything notable or what people should be aware of?
Well, this year was distinctive, as most seasons are. The season began a bit early, and it began with a dominance of an influenza B strain. Now, this is very unusual. B strains usually smolder along during the season and then become more prominent toward the end of the influenza season. But the flu virus didn't read the textbook. It began early, and it was the dominant virus. It caused outbreaks across the country. Now, just as the B strains were beginning to wane, along came an A strain, AH1N1. So it looks as though we're having a double-barreled influenza season this year.
And to what extent are we, I guess, collectively paying too much attention, if you will, to what's happening abroad and the coronavirus, for instance, versus just our own domestic virus that is causing, I guess, just millions of outbreaks across the country?
Well, the influenza virus, of course, just as Dr. Fleece has said, has caused a vast amount of illness and is still very active across the country. In contrast, the coronavirus in the United States, I think the last number is that we have 15 documented cases, only 15, and they're all doing quite well. Now, it's understandable. It's a human psychology to be more entranced and concerned about a novel new strain of a virus that comes up that appears to be threatening and is coming from a rather exotic place. So we understand the attention given to the coronavirus, but we shouldn't forget flu. And I'll get my message out numerous times. It is late to be vaccinated. Make a delayed New Year's resolution. Be sure and get vaccinated this fall.
Molly, exactly how bad are things in terms of infections of children? How different does the picture look from last year?
So we have seen, like I said, more hospitalizations in children and young adults this year than in years past. Thankfully, mortality rates have been low as compared to other years. Overall in the country, we've had about 92 pediatric deaths around the country, and that's within range to years prior. because of the increased number of hospitalization in children and young adults around the country, we have seen higher rates of school closure due to children being sick and teachers being sick. And so I know that's put some strain, more strain out into the community as well.
Bill, the kids who are dying of the flu, do they tend to have compromised immune systems, anything like that?
Well, the story is, as usual, a substantial proportion of them have underlying illnesses, those children who get flu and get and die of flu, unfortunately. But a substantial proportion, indeed the majority, are normal, healthy children. And also, I'll bet this year the data will show the same as it has in the past. Most of those children, profound, sadly, never were vaccinated. So that's something serious to think about.
And is this at least partly due to people who refuse to vaccinate their kids, to anti-vax components, or people who are just opposed to vaccinations?
I suppose the vaccine hesitancy group has contributed something to this, but they usually don't focus on influenza vaccine per se. Influenza vaccine, of course, is something we all have to receive annually. So it's a lot of work for pediatricians and family doctors, as well as the parents who have to bring all those children in to be vaccinated. Fortunately, we're vaccinating gradually an increasing proportion of children in the United States each year.
Molly, were doctors and researchers expecting the flu levels that we've seen this year?
I think so. I think each year we know that the flu has the potential to be a significant circulating illness. And so every year we are prepared. We ourselves get our flu shot. We recommend everyone around us and everyone in the community to get their flu shot. And then we prepare for the influx of patients into our clinics and into the hospitals who unfortunately do come down with the flu and potential complications of the flu. So I do think we were prepared.
Bill, are there any big vaccine milestones on the horizon, things that might be coming down the pike?
Well, as regards influenza vaccine, people are working to devise unique ways to administer influenza vaccine. There have been some early studies showing that perhaps you could administer influenza vaccine via a capsule that you take by mouth. That would be interesting. Another one is to put a patch on your arm with a bunch of micro little needles that you wouldn't even feel that would inoculate the flu vaccine through your arm, but you only have a patch, not an actual needle inoculation. And then, of course, there are many people trying to make a flu vaccine, the so-called universal flu vaccine, that would protect against a whole variety of strains. And that perhaps in the future would mean we wouldn't have to get our flu vaccine each and every year. But those advances are in the laboratory still. In the meantime, we have a pretty darn good flu vaccine, not perfect, but it's the one that we should use to prevent a vast amount of illness. And as Molly said, even if you get the vaccine and get flu, your illness is likely to be less severe. You're less likely to have to go to the hospital, and you're certainly less likely to die of influenza. What's wrong with that?
I mean, I'm curious, when it comes to these kinds of innovations that are in the laboratory phase right now, do these suggest that there are a lot of people out there who simply just don't want to go get a shot every year? It's just a reluctance or an aversion to that?
Well, the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases has done a survey and has found that the two top reasons people don't get vaccinated are, number one, they don't have a lot of confidence in the effectiveness of the vaccine, and number two, they are concerned about side effects. And of course, as to side effects, other than a sore arm, my arm is always sore for about 3 hours after I get my shot. It's an extraordinarily safe vaccine. We give it in the millions upon millions of doses each and every year.
Molly, if the flu does change so much every year, how do researchers keep up?
So it takes a lot of people working really hard every year to look at the shift of the flu virus, and they look at circulating flu viruses around the world, and they ultimately come down with the circulating strains that they believe are likely to be what patients in the United States and around the world are going to be infected with every year. And that is what they target the virus strains for the vaccine each year. We should have more information from the CDC later this week or next week in terms of exactly how effective this year's flu shot is. But I would encourage, again, even if you do get the flu after getting the flu shot, it is important to remember that the severity of your illness is likely to be less, as Dr. Schaffner was saying.
And I'm curious, Bill, to what extent is the coronavirus complicating things at all this year?
Well, the coronavirus appeared after most people had been vaccinated against influenza, but the coronavirus certainly has created an outbreak of coronavirus anxiety that has made people forget influenza, that's for sure.
Bill, what is something that you hear a lot or see a lot online, something that you always try to nip in the bud when it comes to misinformation?
Well, the classic is that you can get flu from the flu vaccine. I'm afraid that old canard is still alive and unfortunately well out there. There's no way that you can get flu from the flu vaccine. Be assured.
Dr. William Schaffner is an infectious disease specialist at Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville. And Dr. Molly Fleece is an assistant professor in infectious diseases at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Thanks so much to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we heard from you about how you stay healthy during flu season.
Hi, this is Eileen from Westfield, New Jersey. I always get a flu shot. I'm a middle school teacher, and I see it as a necessity. That and a vat of hand sanitizer helped me survive the winter months in my classroom in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
This is Lynn from San Francisco. I am a transplant recipient, so I always get my flu shot every year. Hand washing and plenty of sleep is very important to me. Otherwise, I would be very ill.
Hi, this is Diane. I am in Holden, Massachusetts. I do not get the flu shot. I do not believe in a flu shot that cannot offer reasonable protection. I haven't had a flu shot in years, and I haven't had the flu for 28 years.
Hi, it's Missy from Clackamas. I think I have a mild case of the flu right now. I got a flu shot, but I'm entering my third week of what my doc says was a virus. I'm so fatigued, I can hardly get out of bed all day.
This is Larry Bush from Lutz, Florida. My wife and I get our flu shots every year and then let nature take its course. Neither of us has gotten the flu in over 10 years.
My name is Doris. I'm calling from Tampa, Florida. And as far as the flu is concerned, my adult kids do nothing. They simply hope for the best.
This is Cheryl from Arlington, Texas. I find that the best answer for any infection, whether it's flu or colds or anything else, is to wash your hands often and properly. I haven't had the flu shot in years. Obviously, avoid people who are coughing or sneezing and practice good hygiene.